A magnitude 6 earthquake has hit southwestern Japan. The effects seen here in the newsroom at Japanese broadcaster NHK. The public channel has reported that at least 3 people have died. 19 buildings have collapsed, and there are fears that people could still be trapped under the rubble. The quake struck around 9:30 p.m. local time near Kumamoto Prefecture in the southwest of the country. It was followed by a 5.7 magnitude quake 30 minutes later. A fire erupted in Mashiki Town near the epicenter. Despite the magnitude of the tremors, nuclear facilities appear to be unaffected. The Nuclear Regulation Authority said they had no reports of irregularities at their facilities. Officials at Japan's Meteorological Survey warned people to be on alert for aftershocks for the next few days, but no tsunami warning was issued. In 2011, a quake of magnitude 9 caused a tsunami which killed nearly 20,000 people and triggered a meltdown at the Fukushima nuclear plant.
And right now, I am in Jamaica, Queens. It's Friday, 5:12 p.m., and there's just been reports of another aftershock in Japan. You know, it's unfortunate. Japan is such a lovely place, but it's such a vulnerable island in all aspects of the word vulnerable. CD92, my name is JDR, live in your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com. David Robinson at Blogspot.com, TowerCorner, your-poetry.com. Don't forget the YouTube channel. Yeah, we are also on SoundCloud. It's a beautiful place. I knew a guy from Japan, and he came to visit me the September before, you know, that last big earthquake that they had a few years back. I hope he's alright. Anyway, sit back. Relax.
Investigation. Good evening, everyone. I'm Maurice Dubois.
And I'm Christine Johnson. CBS 2's Marcia Kramer has details now on this scandal rocking the department.
Police Commissioner William Bratton at a police foundation gala at the Waldorf tonight as a cloud of corruption hangs over his department.
These are not easy press conferences to do, but it's something that we must do.
Earlier today, Bratton saying that after being briefed by the FBI, he knew that what he must do immediately was to take administrative action against 4 of his most senior commanders.
The public has an expectation of a high degree of trust and integrity in its police department.
Bratton confirming that the probe involves both present and former police officers. That, an apparent reference to former Chief of Department Philip Banks, who is reportedly being investigated for his ties to two businessmen, Jeremy Reichberg on the left at a dinner with Banks and Jonah Rechnicht on the right. The feds are reportedly looking at Banks' financial dealings, as well as trips and hotel accommodations he may have received. Sources telling CBS2 that wiretaps on the businessmen's phones turned up questions of influence peddling involving as many as 20 cops. Sources say the cops are accused of receiving gifts, Super Bowl tickets, trips to Las Vegas, and in at least one case, a top-ranking cop reportedly sold police captain's cards to help people avoid traffic and parking tickets.
The potential violations under investigation include violations of NYPD rules and policies, the city conflicts of interest rules, and federal criminal laws.
Bratton took away the guns and badges of Deputy Inspector James Grant, commanding officer of the 19th Precinct, and Deputy Chief Michael Harrington, executive officer of Citywide Housing. They were also put on desk duty. Also taken out of active command were Deputy Chief Eric Rodriguez, executive officer of the Brooklyn South Command, and Deputy Chief David Colon, commanding officer of Brooklyn Housing.
Commissioner Bratton ordered immediate new training on ethics and conflicts of interest for all cops above the rank of captain. Banks' lawyer insists his client did nothing wrong. In the newsroom, I'm Marcia Kramer, CBS 2 News.
And like I always say, folks, you know, and, you know, I'm beating a dead horse again. I do that often. I don't know why. You know, it's the human element. But it's a shame because these guys were really high-ranking officials, you know, in the police department. And listen, I know the police department does, you know, I know these cops running around the streets, they don't get paid a lot, but those guys that are in these type of positions, they get paid some good money and they get all kinds of benefits, which you've just heard, you know, and I mean, even without it being illegal, you know, they make enough. They're just getting greedy when they're doing illegal stuff like that. And Bratton, man, he's like, he's running around with his eyes closed. You know, bring back Commissioner Kelly. I'm serious, you know, because this guy doesn't know what he's doing. You know, that's why Boston is such a wreck. Yeah, I'm sorry, Boston. Anyway, you're listening to CD92. My name is JDR. I shall return.
guys, Naomi Kyle here with IGN News. Physicist Stephen Hawking and Russian billionaire Yuri Milner have announced a new $100 million program that hopes to lay the groundwork for interstellar travel. The program, called Breakthrough Starshot, involves researching and developing light-propelled nanocrafts that, while no bigger than a computer chip, would be capable of moving at 20% the speed of light. The craft will come equipped with a star chip, a gram-scale wafer carrying cameras, photon thrusters, power supply, navigation, and communication equipment. A light sail, a meter-scale sail no more than a few hundred atoms thick, will move the ship forward after being accelerated by an array of lasers back on Earth. The plan is to create and launch thousands of these tiny spacecrafts, which would reach Alpha Centauri, our nearest star system, 20 years after their launch. The fastest spacecrafts in use today would take at least 30,000 years to make the same trip. Hawking told BBC News, "If we are to survive as a species, we must ultimately spread out to the stars. Astronomers believe that there is a reasonable chance of an Earth-like planet orbiting one of the stars in the Alpha Centauri system. But we will know more in the next two decades from ground-based and space-based telescopes." The project is based entirely on work in the public domain, and it's open to experts in all relevant fields, as well as the public, who are encouraged to share their ideas with the rest of the scientific community. For all the news in the universe, stay right here on IGN.
Now, right now, they're launching a computer chip. It looks like a computer chip. And they're launching hundreds, if not thousands, of these things that are just going to fly through the universe. And that's really amazing, because you have to understand that, you know, if there's like a series of, like a star breaks up, you know, you got all these meteors going towards you and stuff like that. You know, you've got these little things that, you know, sure, a few of them might get knocked off, but, you know, maybe a few of them get through, you know, and they keep going to whatever there is out there. You know, and that would be just absolutely just fantastic. I'll probably never get to see it. I'm an old man. No, but no. I would really like to check that out. You know, I mean, they're testing rockets that will go above the Earth's atmosphere, you know, basically into space, but then, you know, they have them come back down. They don't send them actually into space, you know, and your boy Richard Branson, you know, he's gone back to the drawing board after that catastrophe that he had. But there was one that, you know, was like a normal rocket. And this guy sends it up into the air, and he brought it back down, and it landed standing up. So, I mean, he's already, like, way out. He's advanced, you know? And it would just be, like, a fantastic thing to, you know, if I had to put that on my bucket list, I would go into space, you know? Probably live on Mars or something, chill out on another planet, and just freak. Got to bring some weed with me and, you know, some booze and stuff. Anyway, you're listening to CD92. My name is JDR. I'm your iTunes, your iOS, your Android, Podomatic.com, David Robinson at Blogspot.com, Tower Quant at your-poetry.com. Don't forget the YouTube channel. We are also on SoundCloud. We're live, but a week late. Early, trying to make a buck. move out one day. Others unfortunately caught in the web selling new parts. QS got loses. QS crack and green. We need to come together and build us a better scene. Got loses. QS crack and green. We got to come together and build us a better scene. Better scene.
Sloan. Iceland's prime minister is stepping down. Tens of thousands of people gathered Tuesday to demand his resignation along with the government after the Panama Papers were released showing Sigmundur Gunnlaugsson and his wife owned a tax haven-based company in the British Virgin Islands, as reported Monday by True News. The document showed he sold half of the company to his wife for a dollar in 2009 on the last day before a new law was implemented that would have required him to declare the ownership in the business as a conflict of interest, according to the New York Times, because he was a member of parliament at the time. The prime minister said the taxes were paid and assets were not hidden. The company ended up losing millions of dollars after the 2008 crash, which hurt Iceland. The company claimed $4.2 million from three failed banks there. Gunnlaugsson reached a deal for the claimants against the banks, which is why he is accused of a conflict of interest. Police say the crowds Tuesday were the largest they had ever seen. Demonstrators said they were tired of corruption in the government. The Panama Papers are leaked files published over the weekend, which claimed a law firm in Panama, Mossack Fonseca, set up companies in the Caribbean to protect elitists. Some of the other names that came up include Russian President Vladimir Putin, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, and Ian Cameron, father of British Prime Minister David Cameron. With this True News video update, I'm Kelly Sloan.
And once again, folks, the human element. But you never expect something like that from, you know, a place like Iceland. You know, I mean, it's kind of funny. I remember years ago that the Parliament of Denmark, the Netherlands, I think it was a local parliament. I think it was Amsterdam, and they about broke up because they were arguing over flowers. That's Europe. Europe is a beautiful place, and you know Iceland isn't exactly Europe. We know that, but you know Iceland is. It's small, it's cold, it's pretty, and what are you arguing about? But this guy is stealing money, and that's the bad thing. You don't expect that from a place like Iceland. It's just, it's funny because when I think of their protest, you know, when here we have like tens of thousands roaming the streets and clashes with the police, you know, I can imagine 100 friendly protesters, maybe even like 50 of them didn't even want to go, but since their friends were gone, they're gonna go. I'm not saying anything bad about Iceland, but you know, I think it would be too damn cold. I'd be sitting somewhere looking at the Northern Lights. I'm not worried about that crap. You know, but listen, if it's messing up the economy, then sure, you got to speak up. You got to make your opinion known. You know, so, you know, only thing you can say to that is hats off, you know. Anyway, I'm going to give my shouts out to the NYPD, the FDNY, North Shore Animal League, ASPCA, Show You Soft Side, Meine Freunde in Deutschland, the men and women of the military, and then there's Wildlife SOS, and then there's, you know, Guardians of the Voiceless. My lady, Judge Judy, who was a staunch animal advocate and just a great person, if you ask me anyway. And all those who will not vote for Trump. Okay? So anyway, I might be back, I might not. You're listening to CD92 live on your Android, your iOS, your iTunes, Podomatic.com, etc., etc. I'll be back. We'll be right back.
Nobody likes him. So if you two go to Lincoln, son, be sure to stay away from that guy. I said, I'll try, Mom. I'll do my best. Anything else? No, I might as well tell you the whole story. I said, anything else, Mom? And she said, yes. I want you to take this trophy for the World Series of Soccer. And bring it to this special boy who I've been donating 50p to every month for the last 20 years. So you get that after the show, man, okay? You're not getting it. You're coming back with me to my mom's house. And I'm going to bring you to her doorstep and I'm going to be like, Mom, do you know this guy? And she better. So for the first time in history of the I fucked your mom joke, I'm actually hoping that you did fuck my mom. Because if there's one thing I hate more than the guy that fucks my mom, it's the guy who says he fucked my mom and is lying about it. So guess what? If you didn't fuck my mom, you're gonna fuck my mom. And I'm gonna watch it!
These incredible pictures show the moment an elephant who was held in chains and beaten and abused for 50 years cried as he was released to freedom. Raju, the elephant, was left bleeding from spiked shackles and living on handouts from passing tourists after he was captured and tied up by his owner. But, after 50 years of torture, the animal cried tears of relief after he was rescued by a wildlife charity in a daring midnight operation. Fittingly on American Independence Day. North London-based charity Wildlife SOS stepped in to save Raja from dying in his bonds after learning of his plight in India. Every day, the majestic animal was forced to hold out his trunk and beg for a few coins from passers-by, surviving only on plastic and paper for food. However, last week, a 10-strong team of vets and wildlife experts from the charity were joined by 20 forestry department officers and 6 policemen to seize Raju from his suffering in the Uttar Pradesh area of India. The mission took place under the cover of darkness, as fewer people would be around for the dangerous rescue and the animal could be protected from the searing heat of the sun. Purbhai Nepal, the charity's UK spokesman, described the rescue as incredibly emotional for the team. She said, Raju has spent the past 50 years living a pitiful existence in chains 24 hours a day, an act of intolerable cruelty. The team were astounded to see tears roll down his face during the rescue. It was so incredibly emotional for all of us. We knew in our hearts he realized he was being freed. Elephants are not only majestic, but they are highly intelligent animals, who have been proven to have feelings of grief, so we can only imagine what torture half a century has been like for him. Until we stepped in, he'd never known what it is like to walk free of his shackles. It's a truly pitiful case. But today he knows what freedom is and he will learn what kindness feels like and what it's like to not suffer anymore. The daring rescue came exactly a year to the day since the charity was alerted to Raju's plight by the Uttar Pradesh Forest Department in India. A confiscation process went through the courts as Raju's owner did not have any legal documents for his possession, meaning the charity could rescue him from suffering. It is not known exactly how Raju came into his plight, as little is known about his early years, but the charity believes he was poached from his mother as a young calf. Miss Bainipal said, the poachers either slaughter the mother, or they drive the herd into traps that are small enough only for the babies to fall into. The mother cries for her baby for days after he's been stolen. It is a sickening trade. The calves are then tied and beaten until they submit to their owners. Their spirits are effectively broken. We discovered Raju's case was particularly tragic. He'd been poached as a calf and then he has been sold on and sold on. Incredibly, we believe he has had up to 27 owners. He's been treated as a commodity every 2 years of his life. By the time we found him in July 2013, he was in a pathetic condition. He had no shelter at night, and was being used as a prop to beg from dawn until dusk from tourists visiting the sights of India. He hasn't been fed properly and tourists started giving him sweet food items, and because he was in a state of hunger and exhaustion, he began eating plastic and paper. His nails are severely overgrown, he has abscesses and wounds because of the shackles, and continually walking on a tarmac road has led to his footpad overgrowing. Once the court order was finally issued, a team led by Wildlife SOS founder Kartik Satyanarayan carried out 2 days of surveillance before launching the rescue. Mr. Kartik said, "As we watched, we quickly realized we had to act as quickly as possible, as his situation was so desperate and the cruelty so extreme, so we decided to move the rescue forward by a day." The chains around his legs had spikes which were cutting into his flesh, and each time he moved, pus would ooze out of wounds. Pain and brutality were all he knew. His cruel handler even tore out the hair from his tail to sell as good luck charms. The exploitation and abuse just had to stop. However, even on Thursday evening as the Mercy mission began, Raju's owner tried to prevent his rescue. Mr. Kartik said, he began to shout commands to terrify Raju, and tried to provoke him. It created an incredibly dangerous situation, as a bull elephant could snap a human like a toothpick if he becomes afraid or angry. When that failed, he then put a series of chains around his legs in an attempt to prevent us removing him, so viciously tight that were cutting into his legs. But we stood our ground and refused to back down, and as we did so, tears began to roll down Raju's face. Some no doubt were due to the pain being inflicted by the chains, but he also seemed to sense that change was coming. It was as if he felt hope for the first time in a very long time. We knew it was now or never, so we made the drastic decision to move his transportation truck closer and then walk him 200 yards. Every step would have been agony, but we had to take him, or he could have vanished forever. We decided we'd remove the shackles once we'd got him to safety. Incredibly, Raju calmly complied, despite every step causing searing agony. It was as if he knew we wanted to help him, Mr. Kartik said. Once he was loaded, and given additional sedation, a convoy then escorted the 5.5-ton elephant, 350 miles on the back of an open-top lorry, to the charity's Elephant Conservation and Care Center at Mathura. Incredibly, he stepped out of his truck and took his first step to freedom at 1:01 p.m. on July 4th, which felt so extraordinarily fitting, Mr. Kartik said. The other elephants in the sanctuary awoke from their sleep as we pulled in and came to have a look. It was an extraordinary moment. Raju was then fed bananas, banana leaves, mango and bread and biscuits, and given water before the charity's head wildlife vet Dr. Yadi Rajkadpka began the painstaking process of removing his shackles. Mr. Kartik said, it took him and two handlers 45 minutes to liberate him, as they'd been wound round his legs to prevent their removal and to cause pain if anyone tried to take them off. We all had tears in our eyes as the last rope which held the final spike was cut and Raju took his first steps of freedom. The entire team were exhausted, but incredibly elated, as he has suffered such unthinkable abuse and trauma for so long. He'd been beaten so badly, his spirit is broken. Over the weekend, Raju received emergency medical attention to his wounds, as well as a proper bath and food. It will be a long rehabilitation process, but we will teach him that humans don't mean pain and brutality, but it's going to take time, Mr. Satyanarayan said. When he is ready, he will initially join two companion elephants called Rajesh and Bola, who once also suffered unthinkable cruelty. They've both been rehabilitated, and once he settles, he will learn how to live again by following their example, before he joins the rest of the elephants, including 5 flirtatious females, to live out his days. But for the moment, he's tasting freedom for the first time in his life, and he'll spend the rest of his life in a safe compound living out his days in dignity, free from suffering and pain. The charity has now launched a campaign to raise £10,000 to help Raju begin the start of his new life in a new enclosure which will allow him to roam with his adoptive family.
You left me here with all the contradictions, lies and convictions. You left me here with all the unreal reality. All those crazy contradictions, those crazy, crazy things. You left me here. You left me here. You left me here with all the crazy people making life a serious thing. You left me here with someone really missing a point. It's time to spread the love and not the hate. It's time to get rid of the nonsense. Gotta break it on down. Gotta do the right thing. Yeah, but you left me here. You left me here. You left me here. You left me here. Oh, you left me here. Contradictions, lies and convictions.